This lecture is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor David Kogel.
We start a new series. If you remember, we finished up on Jonah. The Lord kind of led me to this series of on prayer. And what I hope to do is give you a few introduction lessons that kind of deal with as far as getting ourselves in a position to pray as we should. Thinking about what the Word says about prayer and some different things that will help, I believe, you and me as we go to the Lord in prayer. And also, as we finish these introductory lessons, then I really want to get into what I had originally thought I originally had is what happened when they prayed. Being people through the Bible, when we see specific places where they prayed for something, they really got down business in prayer and what took place, what happened, and looking at those individual things as we go along, I think will help us as well. We want to look at some things that are techniques according to biblical standards and things that can help us as we go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is such a great tool. It's our way to communicate to the Lord and tell Him what's on our heart and what we're looking answer for to prayer. And we want to look at why maybe some people are not getting answers to prayer, why people are not praying even. And so we want to look at those as well. So I'll use a little key verse to start off with, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And you know that's just a simple three-word, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And as we look at that verse, you may say, well, how can I do that? How is that possible? Because I think many times when we think about prayer, we think about getting down on our knees and praying. And that's true. We do that many times. Folks come to the altar. It's always good to see folks come to the altar and pray. We have people that had a prayer meeting this morning and every Sunday morning out there and at 9 o'clock, and they're praying. But you know, one thing about it, when it says pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean that we have to fall down on our knees everywhere, all the time, and pray. You know, I do a lot of praying standing up. I do a lot of praying sitting somewhere. I do praying going down the road. There's many times that we're praying. And so what that means is we should be in a spirit of prayer. Well, we engage through all these duties that we do on earth. Prayer can be without ceasing in the heart. And I believe we need to realize that our heart is full of the presence of God and we're communing with Him. You know, when I get up in the morning, I want to talk to the Lord. I want the Lord to speak to me. And so we're communing with the Lord in prayer. And why shouldn't we just carry that on as we go about our daily duties and doing things in life? So that's really what that verse is trying to tell us, that we can pray without ceasing. Now, there are some biblical techniques, and I'm not trying to get technical with you here and things like that, but we want to have I know you do, and I know I do, want to have a satisfied prayer life. I want to feel like when I pray, that I'm praying as I should. God is listening to me, and I'm looking to God to answer some prayers. And so these are things that we hope will happen as we go to the Lord in prayer. So what this does is gives you a spiritual heart checkup. Because if we make sure that things are right on the inside when we go to the Lord in prayer, and we think about some of these things that we can do, I believe you'll see much more answers. You'll see different. You'll feel more satisfied about your praying. You'll know that the Lord is listening. All of these things if we do that spiritual checkup. So I have like six conditions here about a satisfied prayer life. God's word and prayer, they work hand in hand. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And that's going to make a difference when you pray. It's going to make a difference as you go to the Lord in prayer. And because, you know, you and I are going to face so many heartaches in this life. And when heartaches come, when things happen to us and around us and our families, whether it be our children or grandchildren, we watch them would maybe go down the wrong path. We see them make bad decisions. And we think about, hey, you know, I did the same thing when I was young. And I know my mom and dad prayed for me every day. And I thank the Lord for that. But as we think about all these things that are happening all around us, we want to see answers to these prayers. But I think for many folks, their prayer life becomes weakened along the way. Maybe they didn't get answers as soon as they thought they should. Maybe they didn't really believe God was going to do something when they prayed. And that sometimes shows up a lacking prayer life after that, because they just give up. I've talked to people who said, I've been praying and praying and praying, and there's just no answer for this thing I'm praying for. I'm just going to give up. And so we want to think about some of the things that we can do to help those along. How to pray, how to enter into that prayer attitude. You see, prayer is something, and this is how a lot of people feel about it. They feel that prayer is something we pretend to do because we are religious people and we're supposed to do it. That's the thinking of a lot of people. Well, you know, I'm a religious person and I go to church, and so therefore I know that, you know, I'm supposed to pray. But it really goes a whole lot deeper than that. I remember it's been quite a while back, Carrie Underwood sang a song, said, Jesus, take the wheel. And I like that. But I begin to think a little bit more about that thing. Better yet, it's better if we let Christ stay on the wheel all the time. You see, it's not, well, I've been working at it, and I've been doing this, and I'm struggling through that, and I really can't get any farther. Jesus, will you come over here and take the wheel now? Will you take over now? Why not let him take over all the time? Why not let him be there all the time at the wheel? And then when things happen, you know that he's right there. You've already given it to him, turned it over to him. You're trusting in him. So we need to realize when we look at that pray without ceasing, it means be in prayer continually. It's something that we got to work at continually. I don't know if you know anybody that's much into bodybuilding, but these guys that and girls that really get out there and go to the gym day in, day out, never miss a time. I mean, they're working, they're continually disciplining themselves. It doesn't matter what kind of conditions outside, they're going to make it to the gym. It doesn't matter how they're hurting. They're going to get there. They're going to work out. They're going to stay in good shape. You know why? They're building that body for something. That's just what they want to do. And I begin to think about that. We as Christians have to work on our heart muscles as well. Continue to build that prayer life. Continue to be firm about it. Don't say, well, I just don't feel like praying today. Well, you know, I don't feel like I'll get, you know, talk to the Lord that much today. I got a lot else to do. We're never going to get that prayer life that we need to have if we don't constantly, continually working that heart muscle and talking to the Lord. And it doesn't have to be long prayers. There are times when we spend a lot of time, we're pouring out our heart to the Lord. We're telling him all these things that are happening. It's good. But there are times when we just need to thank you, Lord, for blessing me today. Thank you, Lord, for being with me today. I mean, but at least because we're in that attitude of prayer, and we own that terms we should be with the Lord, we don't mind talking to the Lord like that all the time. And that's the way it should be. Let me ask you this pondering question. Does God promise to answer everyone's prayer? Does he promise to answer everyone's prayer? You think about that. Because as we get into these things that we need to be at, things that we need to do when we pray, there are reasons why we don't see answers to some prayers. There are some things happening. And we just can't expect God to be a genie that we've rubbed the lamp and say, God, now I need you right now. Come on and answer it. Are we in the place where we should be? Let's get John 15:7. I tried to stay away from John, Pastor, because I know you're teaching on that, but it's hard to get a few verses out of there. But this first technique, number one on your page there, is a technique to apply is an honest heart before God. Is your heart honest before God? And what I mean by that, he tells us in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now, a lot of folks love that last phrase. They just love to pluck that out of there and say, well, the Bible says, ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. But they don't want to do what the first part does. They don't want to think about that. Because we have to be abiding in the Lord. And remember how I said the Word of God works hand in hand with prayer? We have to abide in Him and His words abide in us. So it's very important. It's an awesome biblical truth to cling to here. We have to remain in Him. We have to, by the word that's being given to you and me, and we need to use that word. It's been well said, but in Scripture, every promise has a condition and a premises. You know what that means? That means, yes, the promise is there. We read them. If we would do what the Lord wants us to do. We can't expect to live a sinful, wicked life and never commune with the Lord, and then all of a sudden, we need something, and we're going to pray, and we expect God to do that. Because we have not been abiding in Him in that situation. And I think that our prayer life will never be more effective than how much you understand the Scriptures. The more you understand the Word of God, the more you'll know how to pray effectively. You see, a lot of times when I get ready to go to the Lord in prayer and I'm praying to the Lord, all of a sudden I remember something in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance something in the Word of God, and I can cling to that and I can say, yep, Lord, I remember what your word said right here. And because your word said this, I know that you're able to do above and beyond. So it's good to have that scripture. You've got to have that word. And so when we think about that question that I ask you, does God promise to answer everyone's prayer? These are some of the things, some of the reasons why folks don't see answers to prayer. You never believe some of the things people tell me. I mean, they don't live for Christ at all. You can tell it by their life. And then all of a sudden, they'll come to me and say, well, you know, I'm asking the good Lord up above to do this because I know that He's able to do it. Well, that's not the question whether He's able to do it. What about your life? You're asking the Lord to do something. What about what's going on with you? There's no communion with the Lord. So we need to realize how many prayers, and here's another question, how many prayers do you and I have which we are still waiting for answers? I'm sure there are a lot of them. Folks, there are a lot. I've heard people tell me they prayed for something for years and years and years, and they're waiting for the answer. But I believe being honest before God will help us to apply this technique of examining ourselves. That's what I mean. If we're going to be honest, we got to examine ourselves. Put us under the spotlight, Lord. What David said, search me. Psalm 66:18. Let's get that up there. Here's another reason. If I regard iniquity in my heart, look at this. The Lord will what? Not hear me. What's iniquity? Sin. Wrong. If I let that abide in my heart, in my life, and I don't do anything about it, then I'm going to sit around and wait till next time I pray. I'm looking for the Lord to answer. Is he going to hear me? No. I tell you what he's going to hear. I tell you the prayer he's going to hear. He's going to hear that confession prayer. Lord, forgive me of the sin that's in my heart and in my life and cleanse me from it. He'll hear that prayer and then he'll wait to hear the next one you have because you're not no longer regarding iniquity. So there's a preference that we have to do. Look at Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Look at that. Can I cover up my sin and hope that the Lord never sees it? He sees all. There's no way to do that. Like Brother Dan taught on King David last week. He's one of my favorite characters as well. David definitely sinned. But he said, you know what? I can't cover it up. I know the Lord knows what I did. And so we find David's great confession to the Lord for what he had did. He explained everything. He asked the Lord, please cleanse me from that. And we have to do the same thing. We are all going to sin. We're all going to fall short. But don't try to cover it up with the Lord and then expect, hey, I gotta go to him and pray. I got a need that I need to pray for. I got something going on in my life, my family, and I need the Lord to move. And here we are over here with covered up sin. Get rid of that. Anyone who covers up their sins. And it's interesting. Did you know people decide that because of sin, iniquity in their heart, they try to justify it with the Lord? Well, Lord, I wouldn't have done that unless you would have sent something would have came my way, or this would have been done, or I was in that particular place, or even blame somebody else. If somebody else hadn't pulled me in there, if somebody else hadn't been doing the same thing, I wouldn't have done that, Lord. We try to justify or blame someone else for the thing that's in our life. And it's not going to work with the Lord. We have to be willing to confess to the Lord our sins, and then he will show us mercy. Look at 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, let's just get that straight right now. Let's just clear that up. There's no need in saying that we have no sin. If we say we have no sin, who are we deceiving? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful, just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, there are folks walking around that's saying, you know, I really don't feel like I'm that bad of a person. I really don't feel like I ain't gonna here murder nobody. I hadn't raped nobody. I hadn't stole from anybody. I'm good. But we are not good. We have sins. It may be something we did we don't even realize that we did. Why not go ahead and get those things under the blood? Get it confessed. Don't even go there and say, well, we don't have no sin. I'm not a sinner. The Bible says we deceive ourselves. So we have to ask the Lord to get things right. And this passage was written by the Apostle John, and he was telling Christians what to do when sin overcomes them. And that's why I don't care how little the sin is. I don't care whether it's been long. The thing about sin is sin will gradually overcome a person. It'll overcome their testimony. It'll overcome their joy. It'll overcome them. They won't want to come to church after a while, and they certainly quit praying. It's a thing that just works on us, and we need to realize that. So we need to confess that sin, get it out of the way. And you know, I want to say there's a big difference between being sorry and being repentant. Some folks are just sorry because they got caught. Sorry because someone else found out. But it's a different thing when we come to that realize, hey, I know I sinned. I know I need to repent. I've got to get it covered. I got to get it taken care of. And so we realize that sin will break you down. It will affect you in many ways and probably other people around you as well. So let's just be honest and have an honest heart. And if you'll do that before you go to the Lord in prayer, have an honest heart. Then when you get ready to pray, you'll be ready to pray because you've gotten everything out of the way. And then when we go back to that pray without ceasing, don't just wait. You say, well, I'm going to be praying about that Tuesday. So I better get my heart right Monday. Keep your heart right. Keep it confessed. Keep things right. Because you never know when you need to call out to the Lord. And we need to have those things taken care of anyway. Number two. The technique here to a healthy, satisfied prayer life is purposely listening to God's teaching. Listening to Him. Now, where does the Lord talk to us? Through His Word. Through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 John 3 and verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, look at this, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Once again, we're looking for answers. We're looking for God to move. We're going to ask Him for something. We want to receive something from Him, whether it's a healing, financial blessing, whatever it could be. But the thing is here, do we keep His Word? Do we do the things that are pleasing in His sight? You see, those things, then we'll be ready. We'll know that we're in good shape to be asking the Lord for something. Confidence before the Lord, it'll come from an obedient heart. And it's knowing that the whole counsel of God's Word is what we're under here. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe everything that's in there. We've got a lot of people trying to pick it out, take it out, move it out, do away all this stuff. We can't do those things and expect to have answers from the Lord. I think it's going to take us a Christian hard work, study, surrender. These things will help us, and the Lord will give us that motivation. You know, when I'm reading His Word, it's kind of like I read a little while, I study, I think about it a little while, and then I talk to the Lord about it a little while because it just goes hand in hand. Maybe I need the Lord to just help me understand what I'm reading here, and He'll do that. I thought about an example like if you're a new employee, you've been hired on a job. It's a lot of involved in that job that you're going to be hired on. What are you going to do? You're going to already be looking and listening to people that are training you, and it may take a while for you to get to the place that you need to be doing the job like they need you to do it. But you're paying attention to it. You're working at it. You're doing your best. You're listening to what the boss says. You're learning the trade of the business. When you're trying hard to do that for that job, then you don't have no problem saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your help with this new job, and I want you to try to try to help me along and keep me healthy and help me understand, my mind alert, all these things. We don't mind praying to the Lord then. But you take that same person who goes on that job, and they're on the cell phone all the time, they're calling, texting friends, they're on the internet expending all kind of energy on useless entertainment. They're not trying to learn anything about the trade. They're not making any connections with the business. They're not going to be in an attitude to say, Lord, I need your help. Because they know they're not trying themselves. They're not trying to do anything here. You see the difference in the connection there? It's been well said that God does not demand perfection. He simply demands a heart that's obedient to His Word. None of us will be perfect. There's only been one perfect one. But His Word will help keep us in line. His Word, as we obey that, will help us stay on the right path as much as possible. And then when we're doing that, we're certainly ready to go to the Lord in prayer. So I would encourage you, just as much as praying, stay in God's Word. Let them work hand in hand together, and they will. All right, number three technique is seeking God's will in prayer. Seeking His will. You often hear a lot of people talk about the will of God. And I believe the Lord has a will for every one of us, a plan for every one of us. I believe He has something for all of us to do. And we many times have to just seek God's will in that situation. Lord, what do you want me to do? Let's look at 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, look at this, according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Once again, here's the promise, but also here's what we need to do. We can have confidence that God will answer. We can have confidence that He hears us, that things will happen. But are we asking according to His will? You see, I could go to the Lord in prayer and ask for some extravagant, ridiculous thing that I don't need, that I don't really have to have, but because I saw somebody else have it, well, I feel like I just want that. That may not be God's will. Not to say that He doesn't bless people with beautiful and extravagant things. He'll do that sometimes. But the thing is, are we praying and asking in God's will? We know that He hears us, but the thing is, are we praying according to His will? I think the modern day Christianity has caused a lot of people to miss the mark when it comes to prayer. They have confidence to approach God, but do they ask the important questions? Think about this when you get ready to pray. How about this question to God? Am I in God's will in regard to being the person that He wants me to be? Am I in His will? Lord, I know you have impressed upon me to do this and do that, and I haven't done it. Well, we may not be in His will. If He's impressed us to do that, and we've been felt led to do that, and there's a peace about that, then we need to follow through with that. Another thing is say, am I in God's will in the circumstance that I'm in? Okay, Lord, you've put me in this circumstance, in this place where I work, or this place where I teach, or this place where I'm around this group of people, and I want to be in your will in the circumstance that I'm in. Am I in God's will in the direction I'm heading in this life, in the life to come? There's a lot of Christians that are just wandering around. I've heard Christians say they've been saved for many years. They say, you know, I'm still seeking God's will and what He wants me to do. And I'm thinking, by now, if they've been saved a long time, they should have a pretty good idea that the Lord, what He wants them to do. The Lord may change that from time to time, move you to something else in another direction. But if we're in tune with Him and we're listening to Him, then we'll know that we're in God's will. Christians who have a satisfied prayer life have the heart like the psalmist wrote about. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 130. We'll start off with that. See what the psalmist is saying here. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for the commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Now look at this. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from all the oppression of man, so I will keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. You see what he said? When it comes to God's will, why not pray, Lord, order my steps today? I don't know where you want me to go. I don't know who you want me to talk to. I don't know what circumstance you can put me in, but you're in order of my steps today. I don't want sin to have dominion over me. I don't want other people to be influencing me, what I'm supposed to do. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do God's will. Because when he said, deliver me from the oppression of man, believe me, there are a lot of people in this world try to influence you. Try to get you, you don't need to do that for the Lord. Why are you always praying anyway? You don't need to do that. They oppress you. They try to prevent you from doing what you should be doing for the Lord. But Christians who find God's will for them in prayer, they'll begin asking these heartfelt questions. And that's, whose will am I really seeking? You know, there are people seeking their own will. There are people seeking the will of someone else tells them what to do. Or either they're asking God, I want to seek your will. So, another good question is, Lord, just what are your instructions for me? You have asked the Lord that at the beginning of the day? Lord, just what do you have in store for me today? I mean, I know I got a plan. I know I got a schedule, but, you know, do we let the Lord interrupt that sometimes? I'm thankful He's interrupted my schedule some. He saved me from something that could have happened to me. He got me going another direction instead of one I thought I was going at the time I thought I was going. Something held me up. I was upset about it. I wasn't on my schedule. But I was glad when I found out later on I wasn't on schedule, because it was a reason that He had me do that. Lord, just what are your instructions for me today? What is my responsibility? Let's say I'm, okay, Lord, you're going to lead me. I know over here, I know I've got to go talk to this person today. What do you want me to say when I get there, Lord? I've done that many times. I don't wait till I get to that person and thinking, well, I don't know what they're going to ask me or what they're going to say, but I'll come up with something. I'd rather pray about it beforehand and say, Lord, bring to my mind some scriptures today or whatever I need to say in this circumstance. So these are heart-searching questions, and it will help the child of God to enjoy a satisfied prayer life. Man, I'm glad I went to the Lord in prayer today. I'm sure glad that I talked to the Lord before I set out on my own. And then we have a little bit of time left. Let's get into number four, a forgiving attitude towards others. What does that got to do with prayer? It has a lot to do. Let's look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, if we stop right there, wouldn't that be great? That's a great verse. But look, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any other, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Aren't we always asking for forgiveness for something? Yeah. Do we want the Lord to answer that? We sure do. But then, I sure didn't forgive that person. I sure didn't have a forgiving heart towards that other individual. You don't know what they said or did to me. And I'm having a hard time asking forgiveness for that. Well, don't look for the prayer life to be great. Don't look for the answers to be great. Don't look for something to happen right away. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. We love verse 24, but we can't take out verse 25. A forgiving spirit. And Jesus set the example of that. It's a key to a satisfied prayer life. Some people do not see their prayers answered because there's an unforgiving heart. There's bitterness in there against someone. And they wonder why they haven't got an answer to prayer. The Bible gives us clear instructions. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Look at this. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble in you and thereby may be defiled. That unforgiving spirit will be a root that will take effect in your life. And it will make you bitter. It will make you say things you shouldn't say. It'll make you not pray when you should be praying, because that's what we're dwelling on. That's what we're thinking about. And that will stay there until we ask the Lord to do something about that. Nothing will tear at the heart of a father or mother or a family member or a friend than someone who will not forgive. And I've heard it all. I've heard, well, they just don't deserve forgiveness. That isn't for you and me to put that there. We have to realize we expect the Lord to forgive us for things. We have to forgive others. People have left the local church. They gave up their callings. They failed to enjoy prayer anymore because of bitterness that is on the inside. Listen, Christ forgave and prayed for those who crucified him. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Crucified, and yet he was able to pray. You say, well, that's because he was the Son of God. That's because he was God. That's why he could. Well, how about old Stephen? Stephen, in Acts 7:60, prayed for those who were going to stone him to death. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stoned to death, crucified. And we can't forgive someone who says something. Boy, they said something about me. They looked at me wrong. And they acted this way towards me. My goodness, can we compare that to what happened to Christ and Stephen and many others? And here they could pray that prayer of forgiveness. Folks, we can expect answers to our prayers and a satisfied prayer life that the Lord is hearing and the Lord's going to do something if we have unforgiveness, bitterness in our heart. So we'll stop there this morning and pick up next time. continuing with this unforgiveness and what it can do in your life. Amen? Amen.
You listen to Pastor David Kogel. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.